The portion of scripture that I would like to draw your attention to this evening, we had in our reading Psalm 130 at verse 7, which reads, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." My dear congregation, this psalm, which could be titled "From the Depths to the Heights," is familiar to us all, I hope. It's a psalm of comfort for the Lord's people. It's also a psalm that speaks to the poor and needy sinner. It's an oasis in a very dry land. Our text is a precious text. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. That phrase is a precious phrase, which is, with the Lord there is mercy. And truly there is. I did a brief study this week of every time the word mercy is used in the Word of God, and there were 270 places where the word mercy is used. And what struck me was, other than a very small handful of passages, every one of them had to do with the Lord. With the Lord there is mercy. And I want to meditate on this thought this evening for a few moments together, and I hope it will be an encouragement to whichever spiritual state you find yourself in this evening. Our theme will simply be, with the Lord, mercy. And we'll have three thoughts. First, we'll look at an aspect of mercy defined. Secondly, mercy needed. And then thirdly, mercy offered. First then, mercy defined. I love how this sentence is written. If you will notice, in our Bible, the words "with the Lord" are in italics. Our translators added those words to give the actual meaning of the Hebrew. There is mercy. This is helpful in one sense, and but I think they could have left out the italics words and done no violence to the text. If we read it without the italicized words, we read, "For with the Lord, mercy." And you'll notice also that the word "Lord" is in all capitals, so this is not the word Elohim that we find in Genesis chapter 1, God in the general sense, or God in his creative sense, but Yahweh, or Jehovah, the covenant God of Israel. For with Jehovah, mercy. Mercy here is a masculine noun that indicates kindness. It indicates loveliness, goodness, faithfulness. It means acts of kindness. And this aspect of God is one of the several important features of his character, of truth and faithfulness and steadfastness and justice and righteousness and goodness. There's also mercy. The classic text for understanding the significance of this word in reference to God is found in Psalm 126, which we sang a portion of. 26 times that psalm uses that word to proclaim that God's kindness and love are eternal. In that psalm, the psalmist makes it clear that God's kindness and faithfulness serves as the foundation of his actions. And also his character. It underlines his goodness in 126 verse 1. It supports his unchallenged position as God, as Lord in verses 2 and 3. It's the basis for His great and wondrous acts of creation in verses 4 through 9, and delivering and redeeming His people from Pharaoh in the Red Sea in verses 10 through 15. It gives the reasons for His guidance in the desert in verse 16, His gift of the land that He gave to Israel, and the defeat of their enemies in verses 17 through 22. Speaks of His ancient as well as His continuing deliverance of His people in verses 23 through 25. And then it ends with His rulership in heaven. The entire span of God's redemption from creation to redemption is touched upon in that psalm. And what it's saying is that it's all happened, it's all happening, and will continue to happen because of the Lord's covenant faithfulness, because of His kindness. So it's a very significant word. Look again how the text is worded. And to me, there's something very, very sweet in it. It doesn't say from the Lord there is mercy, which of course is absolutely true. From the Lord all mercy comes. From Him as the Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes, and surely mercy is one of those perfect gifts. But it does not say from the Lord is mercy. Neither does it say in the Lord there is mercy, though that's also true. It's all in Him, as we said this morning, and in none other. But this is written as though it would draw out the affections of the soul more when it says, with the Lord there is mercy. And it's as though it would say, in His hand, in His infinite heart, as a part of His very nature, this is with Him. Mercy. And this mercy given upon His Israel, upon those who feel their deep need, mercy is with Him. That none need to despair who are brought to long after mercy, and to know that they must perish under the wrath of God without mercy. You see, dear ones, if it said from the Lord there is mercy, I fear a poor, convinced, despairing soul might argue, yes, I know from the Lord there is mercy, but how can I expect that mercy? How can I expect that mercy that's from the Lord to come to me? I'm unworthy of the least of His mercies. In Him is all purity and all holiness, while I am all guilt and all filth and all shame. Or if the words were, in the Lord there is mercy, he might say, yes, I know there's mercy in the Lord for His elect. But am I one of the elect? Doubts, fears, and unbelief might plague his mind or her mind. Though there is mercy in the Lord, is there mercy in the Lord for me? And I know for some of you, you do struggle greatly with those types of thoughts. But by the word with, the Holy Spirit takes a much wider position. He cuts a much wider swath. He opens the arms of mercy wider than He would have done if we would have heard the word from or in. And so this is an encouragement for convinced, seeking, longing, forsaken souls. Or even the backsliding believer to nestle within these arms of mercy that fold themselves around them and gather them into the bosom of Emmanuel. And oh, the good shepherd will gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those who are with young, Isaiah 40 says, with the Lord there is mercy. It's a part of His divine character. It's one of His most precious attributes. This mercy. So that's something of its definition. Secondly, mercy needed. Mercy is not for the righteous. Mercy is not for the holy. They don't need it. And those who see themselves as such will never ever cry out for it. Mercy is for whom? Well, look back at verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. And here we see one who is in great pain of soul, who is crying out. He says in verse 3, if Thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? And here's the psalmist under this weight of the conviction, the pressing conscience upon his own soul, this sin that he feels calling out from the depths. And unless you've cried out to God out of these depths, you have never cried out to Him at all. The beginning, middle, and end of all true personal religion lies in the sense of my own sin before a holy God. The first thesis of Luther's, his 95, is penetrating, if we would believe it. And it reads this: when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, He called for the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. And if a man does not think much about sin, he doesn't think much about a divine Savior. Nor will he ever cry out to Him and be reminded and encouraged by verses like this: In the depths of sorrow, with the Lord, mercy. The child of God feels this time and again. It is a recurring theme in his life. It is an often sung refrain. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to Thee. Lord, hear my call. And this is also just as true for the guilty sinner, the transgressor, the criminal at God's holy bar, the convicted, the convicted of sin. Then he is treated as a criminal and pardoned as a criminal. He or she doesn't come to the throne to lay down his or her merits and take up God's mercy as a counterbalance to them, you know, to kind of tidy up the edges of what might be an imperfect life. But they come poor, ruined and undone, sentenced and condemned by God's righteous law. And to none other but criminals, deeply dyed criminals, will the sound of mercy ever be sweet. But what a sweet sound there is in that word. When that sweet sound, when pardoning love reaches the conscience, when it reaches the innermost being, there is nothing like it. When the mercy of God is manifest in his blotting out and casting behind his back all of Israel's guilt, all the filth, all of the shame. Though we all here in this room this evening are in need of mercy, whether we know it or not, whether we feel it or not, we need that mercy. Do you ever feel that way? There are times when we might feel that we need to be forgiven. There are times when we feel we want to escape the judgment of God. But how often do we feel the need for mercy? Oh, that the Lord would open our minds and our hearts to see that is exactly what you and I need this night. And what's beautiful about that is our third point, mercy offered. With the Lord, there is mercy. That's not a slogan. That's not just a statement of fact. It actually carries with it something of a beautiful and drawing offer. I read in my study of a poor, thoughtless sinner who had spent all of his days just living in sin. And now he laid on his deathbed. And there in that room, when he was alone, he was filled with fear and filled with terror. And all the false confidence that he had in life, it just evaporated. His sins stood arrayed against him. The devil was harassing him. His conscience was condemning him. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to turn. And then a friend came in and simply pointed out the way of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this message awakened a strong desire within him. And his cry was, "I want mercy." For the first time in his life, he felt the need of mercy. And he saw that mercy alone would meet his situation on his deathbed. And he realized that God's mercy flowed to sinners through the person and the work of his Son. This man began to confess his sins and began to deplore his sad condition, and he cried out to God and said, "I will not cease to pray until I find God's mercy." And he found it. He sought it until he found it. And it says that he died in peace. Perhaps that describes you tonight. You want mercy. That you've sinned against God. You've made yourself miserable. You've lost all strength to do good. You're under that sentence of death that you feel in your hearts. And if you die in the condition that you are in now, you are undone forever. Tonight you've heard with the Lord, there is mercy. That's a precious truth to you. That's a glorious promise to you. That you want mercy. You want mercy to pardon your sins because you know that they are many and they are great. And you know that every one of them deserves and actually demands punishment at God's hand. And if things are allowed to take their natural course, that you must be punished. Punished with what? With everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. Punished where? In the lake of fire and brimstone. And punished with whom? The Bible says the devil and his angels. Punished how long? Well, the book of Revelation says the smoke of their torments ascend forever and ever. And there the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And you feel you're in danger of such a fate. You feel the need for mercy. That you may well cry out tonight, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That you know you must be pardoned or punished. And if you would be pardoned, common sense dictates that you should seek for it. You want mercy to pardon your sins, to renew your heart, to save your soul, to deliver you from hell and to prepare you for heaven and give you a place in God's sight. Tonight, mercy is your great want. Do you feel that? Do you desire that? Are you earnestly seeking it? Well, dear one, mercy may be attained. Saul of Tarsus obtained it. The dying thief also obtained it. Guilty Mary obtained it. So many in the Word of God, unworthy, just as unworthy, more unworthy than you obtained it, so may you. Because He is rich in mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. His mercy is higher than the highest mountain and deeper than the deepest sea. His mercy. And we learned this morning that it flows to sinners freely, but it can only flow through Jesus Christ. That He opened the channel through His Son for this mercy. He removed all obstacles out of the way through Him. And if you really feel your need for mercy, if you truly desire to find mercy, then go to the Lord as one who is on a throne of grace. at a mercy seat. And don't attempt to take anything with you. Go just as you are. And there, confess your sins honestly. The sins of your past life, sins of thought and word and deed. Don't hold anything back. Tell the Lord all that you feel. And tell Him all that you fear. Plead with Him as for your life. Plead with Him to have mercy on you on account of what Jesus has done and suffered. And then don't place any dependence on your pleading. But depend on Jesus Christ alone. And view Him as loving sinners, as living for sinners, dying for sinners, pleading before God for sinners. And remember, His blood satisfies God's justice for all the sins of all who exercise confidence in that blood and plead it before God. And think of those precious words, with the Lord, mercy. Hear His own words, "He that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall find mercy." Listen to the testimony of His servant who spoke from experience. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to His word where He has said, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He is just to the merits of His Son, for He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And now we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. And we learned that this morning. He is a just God and yet a loving Savior. He laid our sins on Jesus that He would not have to charge them to our account. He punished our sins in Jesus that He might not have to punish them on us. And now God is in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And so the sinner has every encouragement to say, "I will not cease to pray until I find mercy." Because he cannot seek in vain. God's justice is satisfied with the death of His Son. God's law is magnified by the obedience of His Son. There's nothing to prevent the outpouring of God's mercy to sinners. And the sharpest working, my dear congregation, the sharpest working of unbelief is when men see their misery greater than God's mercy. And oh, there are many of this kind of people. And the great work of faith is to get these two to meet fairly. and mercy will clearly prevail. Cain's old words should be left to himself and not used by anyone else in Genesis 4:13, where it says, "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear, or my iniquity is greater than may be forgiven." And words sounding like these are the language of hell, and not spoken by any who would escape it. I know many people who have no difficulty saying that with the Lord there is mercy. We've never tasted His mercy. Never pleaded with the Lord for mercy. Their question is, am I fit for mercy? That's the wrong question. It should be, is His mercy fit for me? And that's a question that every sensible soul can answer. If anyone asks, am I fit for mercy? Probably is unfit for it, and probably farthest from receiving it. It's actually a passive-aggressive way of pushing away the gospel, though it sounds at times so pious. But the needy soul will say, though I know I'm unfit for it, I know I'm unworthy of mercy, yet mercy is very fit for me. There in Him is pardoning mercy, saving mercy. Mercy fits me, though I am utterly unworthy of it. And His heart will have mercy upon them. Nor does He look for any reason in the sinner why he should have mercy. But He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion because I will have compassion. And who are they? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, for He will abundantly pardon. But you say, may there not be some that are refused? No, never. Not one. Because Jesus says most seriously, most sincerely, I will in no wise cast out any comer. The apostle assures us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. What class is that? It's classless, or it's every class. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, if they seek the Lord, they will find the Lord. So, dear one, mercy then may be had. Mercy may be had by sinners, by the vilest of sinners. God excludes none. Exclusion is the act of man, not of God. Whosoever will may come and take of the fountain of the water of life freely. And oh, that every unbeliever here or listening in tonight may be led to say, I want mercy. And I will stop at nothing. I will not stop crying out to God until I find it. Amen.